Welcome to Tabletop. My name is Nick, and I think that fudging dice rolls is totally okay.
Hey, it's me, Franco, and rolling for initiative sucks.
I'm Daniel, and I think you should modify your first level characters as much as you want.
And I'm Shade, and if your TTRPG hasn't evolved into a LARP, you've done it wrong.
And we all host Tabletopped, a TTRPG podcast about all things games and storytelling.
And sometimes we have game designers, professional researchers, and even the occasional owlbear.
If this interests you, listen to Tabletop every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. Tabletop is a proud member of the Helios Network.
On this episode of Negative Modifier, we'll be playing the game Delta Green. Delta Green is a mature tabletop RPG that tackles various dark and unsettling themes and topics that some listeners may find traumatizing, harmful, or generally uncomfortable. Listener discretion is advised. Let's start this off, Agent Star, with a drive.
Now, this vehicle has chains and everything. Is that going to give me any bonus to this drive check?
Yeah, I'll give you a plus 20 to it.
An 84 out of a modified 40 fail.
It takes a while to get across town. This takes long enough that, like, there's a decent chance that if they turned the power off at the high school, they're probably at least thinking about turning it back on at this point. Like, this has been a long time. Like, the time frame you gave them, you're probably at the very ends of that, and they were kind of hesitant to do that to begin with. But so, as you pull up to the Truman Memorial High School, the building is dark. There are indications of a couple, like, battery-powered lights around the perimeter of it. You can kind of see various people milling about. You see a kind of cordoned-off area that's probably where the generators are. What do you do?
So Star, as he pulls up, turns the engine of the car off. And like, is this an open Jeep, like open to the elements?
No, it's not, because it has a roof on it. At least it's not an open Jeep. I'm not sure I said if it was a hard top or a soft top. So if you want to do something soft top with it, I will allow that.
Can I like take or like unlatch the soft top? Is that like a thing you can do?
Oh, yeah. It'll take a few minutes to do it, but you do that before you start driving, I guess. Or is that kind of a thing once you pull up?
Yeah. That's something he would have done before he started driving.
Sure.
As a reminder, Star's got this chainsaw and bulletproof vest and this like brim hat that he's wearing.
So to clarify, it is winter conditions and you are driving with the top down.
Yes. And sunglasses on.
At night.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So again, you pull up to the Truman Memorial High School. Lights appear off. You can kind of see off to one side a area that seems to be kind of a little more under guard and whatnot. There are a few people milling about. You do kind of see a couple of people in the dark kind of slowly approaching your vehicle. What do you do?
Star stands sort of in the Jeep and begins like scanning around the school, the relief center, looking at power lines and the ilk.
All right. Just looking for power lines in general or what?
I'm looking for where this owl thing might be perched. I want to see if I can spot it.
At first glance, you're not seeing anything. You do see numerous kind of connections. The high school obviously has numerous kind of power lines running from various points. Like, you can easily see from kind of like, I'm assuming you kind of pulled up to the front of this area, like the main entrance drop-off zone of the high school.
Yeah.
You can see a few locations where like the power lines do indeed connect. You can also see numerous locations kind of around the perimeter of this thing from where you're standing. That like it would just have to drop to the ground and like leap a fence and then have 20-foot move to being on a building or something. There are numerous ways it could have gotten to the high school proper. And then kind of again at quick glance, kind of looking at the school, you can see several HVAC and kind of heating vent smokestacks on the roof too. Like, you would have no way of at quickly kind of first glance or kind of just from where you're standing, analyze all of this. But like, it's very obvious that if it wanted to, it could definitely be here.
I think like as he's getting ready to pull up to the store, he'd open the glove box. They got any like CDs in there or anything?
Yeah, sure. What are you looking for?
Loud like rock music, like classic rock.
Sure. Yeah, you got that going on. So, and with all that being said, kind of approaching you is someone in fatigues and they kind of look at you. What the hell are you doing, asshole?
I'm here to help out.
You can't see them well because they're kind of in the dark still, and they're slowly coming towards you. With what? Your shitty taste in music? Your roofless car? What the fuck's going on? Who the hell are you?
I heard you got an owl problem. You want to show me where that is?
I'm sorry, what?
The owl problem. Where was it last seen?
So by now, kind of a early 20-somethings man has kind of entered the glow around your car from headlamps, and he just looks confused. He goes, owl problem?
Yeah, when we radioed earlier about turning the power off, you said that there was an owl concerning people.
Kind of looks confused, then kind of dawns on him. Oh yeah, some of the civilians, I guess, were complaining about like maybe an owl being loose in the gym or something. Or something like that, I guess. I don't know.
Star gets out of the car, leaves it running with the music playing, and starts walking towards the relief center.
All right, so this guy kind of follows you. Again, you are wearing a bulletproof vest and you have a chainsaw with you still?
Yeah, the vest probably says deputy on the front as
well. It most definitely does.
So in the dark, rolling up in this like bright orange Jeep, Star gets out with his big like sheriff's deputy hat, the bulletproof vest and a chainsaw and starts walking towards the gym. Oh, he's also got the sunglasses on.
Yeah, so this guy follows you and he's like, sir, stop. What the hell are you doing? And like at this point, other members of the National Guard are slowly coming towards you too, because you have most definitely caused a commotion at this point. Do you try and outrun them? Like, what are you doing at this point?
I'm going to just keep walking. I'm with the I'm the FEMA guy oversight. I'm here to deal with the problem.
And the guy that was talking to you previously, like, that doesn't explain anything. Why are you wearing a bulletproof vest? What's with the chainsaw? Wait, are you the guy that told us to turn off the generators earlier?
Listen, son, I need you to get back to your post.
All right, let's see a persuade or a charisma to see how that goes over.
I am technically better at charisma, so I'll give it a go. 53 out of a 35% fail.
Yeah, so he kind of like slowly, without breaking stride, still following you, kind of reaches for his walkie-talkie and goes, we have a situation you'd call it, over here by the main entrance. One of the FEMA oversight people are here, and he's got a chainsaw, and he's wearing a bulletproof vest, and what do you want me to do? I think this guy told us to turn off the power. He told me to keep an eye out for him if he showed up, and you kind of hear some talking back and forth. He's still following you. You're kind of like 10 feet away from the main entrance at this point. He goes, sir, I have to ask you to come with me and talk to my superior in charge here.
Are they inside?
No, they're over there by the generators. We really need permission to turn them back on.
He can come talk to me. I'm going to keep walking.
He is not going to like that, sir.
He just keeps walking.
All right, so you have athletics to kind of like keep on pushing at this point, because now there's like a group of these people around you that like maybe you're going to try and do something.
89 out of a 85% fail.
All right, so you feel kind of a couple hands on your shoulders as people kind of start trying to slow you down some, and from the general direction of the generators, you hear, what the hell is going on over there? And another figure kind of slowly makes his way over and comes face to face, and he goes, are you the FEMA guy that told someone to turn off the generators?
I am the very same.
Can we turn them back on yet? People are, well, if I'm being blunt, fucking pissed.
Yeah, once I know that the gym is clear, we can go ahead and turn it back on. But
clear of what? It's a bunch of scared, cold people in there right now.
Listen, I just need to get in there, check it out. The longer you stall me, the longer it's going to take for you to get approval.
All right. I don't think numbers are your strong suit. As you may have noticed, there are 7 of us and 1 of you. I get that you're part of this whole FEMA oversight thing. Not that I really know what the hell that means in the grand scheme of things. But either I'm going to need some answers real soon for any of this shit to start making sense, or things are going to get complicated.
Complicated how?
Sir, it's within my authority to detain individuals that we believe are acting in a way that may be harmful to the general populace in this situation. We are the National Guard. We do have some authority in situations like this. We get that you're the Oversight Committee. but I'm willing to bet, kind of again, gestures around and gestures up and down at you, based on all the situational evidence, most authorities would probably side with me if this became an elevated topic.
Listen, you want the same thing I do. You want these people to be warm and happy, and you want everything to be hunky-dory. And I need to confirm the situation's under control. Once that's done, the generators can go back on and everyone go about their day.
Help me help you, sir. If you can simply give me any information on what the, quote, situation is, perhaps we can work together. Is it like a gas leak? Is there possible damage to the gym? Is there something we should be concerned about? We can evacuate people if need be. We have secondary locations prepared in the case of something bad happening here. I just need something to tell people, or we're going to have a riot on our hands soon.
Yeah, there is a possible fire situation. When we were out there, we've seen multiple houses that have been ablaze. We're not sure if it's a gas leak or anything or something wrong with the mains.
Give me a charisma or persuade on that one. I'll give you a plus 10.
7% out of a modified 45.
So this guy kind of crosses his arms and thinks for a second, mulls it over, and he goes, all right. I'm not going to pretend that I believe everything you're saying right now, but there have been some reports of some weird stuff around town. That's true. There was some fucking deputy earlier poking around trying to get access to some information about some electrical grids or something. I don't remember. So you're saying that there's a chance that the populace inside the high school right now is at risk. Does that mean that we should be evacuating them to a secondary location? Should we temporarily move them out till we can have a full sweep of the building to confirm everything is safe? We need to give people instructions.
Let's begin moving them outside the building for now. We don't need to move them to a secondary location yet, but I'm going to go in and confirm that it's safe.
All right, just so we're clear, this will take some time and people are going to be upset. We need to be able to get them back inside as soon as possible.
Let's get working on it now then.
He kind of nods slowly. He goes, all right, you heard the man. Let's start getting people outside. This will take a little bit. Apologize profusely. No one's going to be happy. Let's see if we can get some of the gas heaters out here set up so people don't freeze to death out here. Thank God it's not still storming out, but let's make this quick, people. And slowly but surely, the crowd kind of seems to disperse. And slowly, you kind of hear radio kind of conversations happening about moving people out. Everyone's confused by this decision, but slowly but surely, after about 10, 15 minutes, people slowly start to trickle out. It is, for the most part, normal-looking people. They are scared, cold, confused, clutching what belongings they brought with them. A lot of people have backpacks or suitcases with them. Give me an alertness at plus 20.
At plus 20, you say?
Yes.
98 out of a modified 104 success.
All right, so, kind of, as this crowd is moving out, like this has not been happening fast. This has easily taken kind of half an hour, maybe close to a full hour by the time people seem to be kind of slowing down the trickle. You hear a woman trying to get the attention of one of the National Guardsmen saying, I don't know where my husband is. He went to go to the bathroom. He didn't come back. Can you make sure he can find us when he goes back to the gym?
I'll step in and say, I'll go find your husband. Now, you said he was going to the bathroom.
She looks too confused. Yes, we've been using the gym locker room bathrooms. They're a little bit cleaner, a little bit more of a walk, but those are the ones that we were told were kind of the secondary ones. The main ones were getting a little bit, she kind of grimaces, overused.
All right. I'll go take care of it. Stay safe.
Thank you. His name is William, if that helps.
It does. I'll go find William.
All right, yeah, so go into the building now?
I'm going to head into the building, and as I do, I'm going to take those amphetamines I was given by Sanguine.
All right. I will give you a plus 10 to search for those. I'll give you a plus 20 to search for those, as you're kind of like hyper aware at this point, and I'll give you a plus 20 to dodge, if you so wish.
I'll take it.
And there may be a negative that will come into play soon, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Great. I am headed to the bathroom that she disclosed. I am moving fast, but I want to try to be as quiet as possible.
Yeah, so with your kind of heightened, drugged up senses, every single footstep you make, despite kind of your slowness is almost seems to echo around the silent hallways of the school. And as you make your way deeper and deeper, it's not hard to navigate. Kind of all hallways seem to constantly lead towards the gym. You eventually find your way there, and finding your way from there to the locker rooms is quite simple. And as you kind of make your way down to that level, it's a little bit of a, you're going to have to go down to a sub basement of sorts. Give me a search.
All right. 27 out of a modified 53% success.
You definitely feel it get cold. You're not quite sure why, but like you almost can like feel a draft blowing through space or something like that. You try following it?
Yes. I know this isn't going to be useful for my stealth, but I am going to get the chainsaw to the standby mode.
Sure. Yeah, so it's making that kind of puttering sound of chainsaws.
Yeah.
All right, give me a survival.
Survival, you say?
Yes.
95% failure.
It's hard to follow a draft in these kind of labyrinth of locker rooms and whatnot, but eventually you kind of hear through one of the doors a faint kind of muffled sound, and also kind of the occasional tapping, what you'd guess might be floor tiles or something like that.
Would it help my search for the draft, Charlie, if I took out a set of matches and like lit them?
That'll give you general direction. I'll give you a plus 10 for that.
Do you want me to roll with survival again?
Nah, I think you still fail at that,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah.
Maybe with, but, a plus 10.
With a plus 10, I'd be at 62, but I rolled a 95.
Yeah. No, yeah. So it takes some time, but yes, you eventually kind of hear the sounds of something.
All right. I will make my way to it.
All right.
And I will try to be stealthy-ish.
All right. Yeah, give me a stealth check.
20% out of a 52 success.
Okay. So, you make your way to a locker room door. It's March visitor team, et cetera, on it. Do you push the door in?
I do.
All right, so the door slowly kind of squeaks in with a loud, kind of like slow door opening sound, and more or less dead center of the room lies a man on his back. Around his mouth is this kind of orange fluid you've come to know oh so well, but he's kind of lying there moaning slightly, maybe a tad unconscious, you can't quite tell.
Okay. I have slight experience with this, so before I go in, I want to look around and make sure that there's nothing else like hiding in the room.
Yeah. Give me a search. At minus 20.
I do alertness, perhaps?
Yeah, I'll do that, but still at minus 20.
Okay. Would this cancel? Actually, I don't have a plus 20 to alertness. I have a plus 20 to search. That is a 33% critical.
All right, so you're slowly looking around the room, and amongst kind of the moaning sounds, you hear the sound of like water falling. And you realize that it's about 3 feet kind of further into the room, and to the man's left, there is a single drop of this orangey fluid on the ground. As you slowly pan your head up, there is a full-grown one of these things just hanging from the ceiling. Its tail is slowly leaking small drops of the strange orangey fluid you've come to see. It's looking at you with its sightless face, kind of almost seems to make eye contact if it had eyes, and then just kind of inhales and lets out a just deafening hoot of anger at you. What do you do?
Does it look like it's getting ready to do the pounce that it does?
Oh, yeah. It's like hanging from the ceiling like it is.
I am going to get ready to dodge out of the way and try to catch it with the chainsaw as it goes by.
All right. Let's see that dodge.
89 out of a modified 80 failure.
All right. So the good news is your dodge kind of goes not so great. It's lunge from the ceiling at you. Misses as well, and you kind of slide across the ground as it slides across the ground, kind of clawing at it to regain control. Jumping to Deputy Filigree and Agent Sanguine as you drive through the night. Deputy Filigree, you're kind of used to these conditions. This is your town, after all. And you arrive at the LaFontaine University dormitories, which are, for the most part, dark, except for one tower has occasional blinking lights, and you can hear sounds from outside emanating from it. You'd guess it's about the fifth floor up, if you will.
In preparation for heading to this party, I'm going to take my bottles of scripts, and I'm going to be scratching out any kind of like name informations, where it is or whatever the heck. I'm just leaving the drug names on it. I'm also going to be emptying out the actual scripts and then putting them into like secondary containers, because I'm going to be replacing all the drugs with tranquilizers or like downers.
Mm-hmm.
I look around and I'm looking there and I kind of signal that over to Sanguine, and I kind of point in that direction and go, you see that over there?
Yeah. Looks bumping.
Yeah. So how are we sneaking in here now?
Well, I always look pretty okay. I mean, like, I'm a little bit more business casual than anything else, but I'll kind of at least blend in with just an everyday crowd. You, on the other hand, look like a cop. Do you have like a change of clothes?
It's going to be difficult too, because I mean, I'm from here. They know me. So it might be best if we go in separate, but together, if that makes any sense.
No, I understand. Yeah. But like, you, do you have like a, here, don't ask me how I know this, but I can always tell when someone's undercover and trying to do some sort of weird shit. Like when they pop in and they're trying to ask for like some stuff and it's like, no, you're an undercover cop. Do you have different shoes by chance? It's the shoes.
Let me see if I have anything here.
Armored vest probably isn't helping either.
Yeah. So I do have some clothes. So I'll look through my Jeep and look for a change of clothes and hopefully have some sort of like jacket to kind of try to disguise the vest, because I sure as shit don't want to lose the vest.
Sure.
You have like a hat and sunglasses. Just turn the hat backwards.
Probably one that's the sheriff's department on it.
One that doesn't.
Let's just go like this. Like, this is the best it's going to get. I'm pretty sure somebody here is going to notice me. And so I'm only going to be able to get so far, dude.
All right. Well, give me like 5 minutes then. I'm going to pop in. Easy enough. It's a college party. I've got these and I kind of shake my jacket. I got a cover. But actually, do you have like an Altoids container or like just some empty cups? I need to hold some stuff.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me check. I will pull out some sort of like Altoids, you know, mint container of some sort from the car.
Cool. Thank you. And I take the container and I open it up and I just dump all the contents out of it onto the ground, because I'm going to be reshuffling some of the pills that I have. Conceptually, I'm going to be using a tranquilizer or like a downer to kind of maybe try to get, no, that's a bad idea now I think about it, because then that just means that there's going to be a whole bunch of like lethargic people in a highly possibly bad situation. So never mind. But I'm still dumping out your Altoids onto the ground, because then I look at it and whatnot and I realize like, oh wait, no, hold up. That was a bad idea. Never mind. Here, sorry about that. Give me 5 minutes to kind of, as a head start. I don't want to kill the party immediately. Let's see what's going on or what's happening. You got a walkie-talkie by chance, or you got like a little radio?
Yeah, I might have one back here.
Yeah, you got that.
Okay, cool. I will hand Sanguine a radio. Here you go. I would suggest you keep it quiet or hidden until last second.
Oh, I gotcha. I don't plan on looking like a narc. And I give you kind of like a once over. It's like, oh man. Try not to kill the vibe. Good luck. And I head on in.
All right. So you approach the dorm?
I approach the dorm.
Yeah. So as you get close, you see a couple students are outside. One of them's throwing up. The other two are kind of there comforting them some. They are dressed in Valentine's Day college appropriate outfits, meaning whatever the fuck they want. As you get closer to the building, it is loud in there. Definitely. You can hear just a cacophony of sounds, various types of music playing on top of each other. As you get close, you also kind of notice that like there are blinking lights, there's a variety of things. They're using the power available to this dormitory real smartly right now for the situation everyone finds themselves in. And yeah, so try the door.
Try the door.
It is locked and it appears to need some type of like key card to open it up, or a normal key.
I head over to the person, the group that's kind of throwing up. Hey, are you guys going to be all right? Do you need Tums? I have Tums if you need it.
How old does Sanguine look, or how old is Sanguine?
Sanguine's like 46.
Yeah, so as you approach the three college students, one of them looks at you. We'll be fine. Don't worry about it. This isn't our first rodeo.
For sure. I've got like activated charcoal if you need it.
Activated what?
Activated charcoal. Oh my God. It's not your first rodeo, but you still are amateurs. If you drink too much, you could go ahead and take this. It'll help deal with the fact that you may or may not have like a gnarly ass hangover. It'll absorb any kind of like unnecessary amounts of alcohol still in your system. But once you take it, like you're done for the night. Are they going to be fine? Do you need electrolytes?
The person you're talking to is kind of confused. He's like, I thought you just, if you drank too much, you threw it up and went back to drinking. You know, rally and whatnot.
Yeah, rally, but you could just do it so much more efficiently. Jesus Christ. Find somebody in like the pharmacology department or some shit like that. That's like your heavy partiers.
This person is drunk and confused by the long words you were throwing at them.
Grad student, different building. I need to get in. I have deliveries.
What, like pizza?
I shake my jacket. Candygrams.
Oh, like party favors. Got it. Who are you here to see?
Trevor, dude. He's not picking up his phone. Fucking let me, like, I just help a guy out.
You know, it's a long to this. Give me a human int.
55% fumble.
This person definitely knows who Trevor is and thinks it's kind of weird that a square like you is hanging out with Trevor. Trevor's way too cool to be buying his drug from such an obvious narc. Tell you what, man, you give me Trevor's shit, and when we go back in, we'll take it up to him, and then Trevor can come down and I'm guessing, like, pay you or something?
Jesus Christ. And you guys are just gonna, what, leave that shit, like, unattended or whatever the heck? No, I'm here to actually make a fucking buck. Christ almighty, do you need an advance? What do you need? Klonopin? Vicodin? Like, Quaaludes? You want to throw it back?
This kid's eyes go kind of wide at kind of the words you're throwing at him, and he's kind of just confused. He goes, yeah, any of that sounds good. And some of that charcoal shit you were mentioning, too, that sounds fantastic.
All right, cool. 5 Vikes, some activated charcoal. How big are you pupils right now? Are you rolling? You need 5 HTP? No, you're just drunk. Okay, cool. Here's some fucking Flintstones gummies if you need it. And, like, I don't know. A Cialis, let me in.
Kid takes some, kind of looks at Cialis, goes, I don't need these, but I'm going to take it anyway because you never know kind of thing, and kind of goes over, puts his ID on the card reader, and you hear a buzz sound as the door unlocks temporarily.
Don't die. Drink water. Have fun. And I head upstairs.
Deputy Filigree, you just watched a strange person you are pretty sure you can associate with at least 2 murders today trade drugs for access to a dormitory.
Yeah, I am, of course, just kind of like observing, and I'm like, holy shit, he actually talked his way through that. Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to kind of like keep tabs outside for a little bit for now, and then like kind of walk around and see if there's maybe another way in that I can try to get in, but at least buy a little time. So I'm not going in immediately at the same time that Sanguine is. So. Just to give a little room.
Yeah, give me a search to kind of search around the building.
Sure. 58 and a 60 success.
Yeah, you have to walk 2/3 of the way around the building, but you do eventually find a couple of people outside smoking in kind of a little entry area. It looks like be a fire escape. They've propped the door open with a rock of some kind. They kind of look at you and nod as you approach.
Okay. So I kind of walk up and just kind of casually go, mind if I bum a smoke real quick?
One of them shrugs and hands you a cigarette and kind of pulls a lighter out and offers to light it for you.
I accept the lighting and I just kind of casually just start smoking a little bit.
All right.
And I kind of just kind of stay quiet and hang around for a little bit and just kind of try to blend in and see, you know, what's going on, and then see if they say anything first or if they're waiting for me to say something. But I just kind of, I'm trying to read them, if you will, and see if there's kind of figure out the vibe.
An awkward minute or two passes before one of them eventually goes, so like, you a grad student or something?
Something like that. I was here visiting my buddy from out of town, and look at the mess we're in here. So, but yeah, yeah, he's studying biology or something like that. I don't know, but yeah, long story.
What's your friend's name? I might know him. What floor they live on?
So as somebody who's from this town, I would know how many floors and like a little more details on the college and the building, right?
You guess that's the fifth floor of the building, of the dormitory. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Somewhere on the fifth floor. And I will throw out a random kind of number for the room just to kind of see if they'll buy it.
I mean, you also have a name from that phone call earlier, from the phone message earlier.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. What was the name on that one?
Chad Bergman.
Okay. So, yeah, no, so he's somewhere up on the fifth. I don't know if you know him, Chad Bergman.
Chad's a fucking biology major. But his major is fucking partying and drinking. But okay, fucking news to me, I guess. Oh yeah, no, we all know Chad, the Bergmeister. This is his whole gestures around. This is his whole party, I guess, technically.
I mean, somehow I'm not surprised, but yeah, I mean, I got into town and I've been kind of stuck here, so yeah. Is he here?
Oh yeah, he's upstairs somewhere. His party kind of, you know how that type of thing works. Gotta be the attentive host of the night. Yeah.
I figured it makes sense. You want to be a good host after all. I finish up the cigarette and go, you mind if I go through and go look for him?
The guy shrug. Any chat of the Bergmeister's a friend of ours, I guess. Yeah, tell him we say hi, I guess.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And then I just walk my way in.
I'm assuming you both head up to the fifth floor.
Yeah. I mean, I will slowly work my way up. Yeah. Up there. But like, try not to get, you know, because I'm assuming I shouldn't make any extra assumptions. But yes, I'll make my way up to fifth.
I'm assuming you're also going there as well, Sanguine.
Absolutely.
You two walk very different paths on this one, where Deputy Filigrees is relatively uneventful. The occasional kind of student sitting on stairs, smoking, overturned cup, strange smell, normal fire exit during a party stuff. Agent Sanguine, you were attempting to kind of salmon swim your way upstream of just a slow but constant flow of hedonistic and borderline Caligula-esque activity. It is kind of like trying to maneuver through a sea of bodies all snowed in and trying to make the most of a very last minute Valentine's Day party, if you will. It is a bunch of young adults in their prime in college that haven't had power for a couple of days in most cases. Use your imagination of some of the stuff you're seeing, but it's various drug smells, various bright lights, loud music. It's very disorienting. As a result, you both kind of arrive at opposite ends of the fifth floor at roughly the same time. Filigree, you had a much easier time getting up there. Sanguine, you probably have a better sense of just how much of a clusterfuck sorting through all this will be. But also, both of you give me an intelligence now.
All right.
God damn it.
I got a 26 out of 70 success.
I have a 90% failure.
It's a tad disorienting, Agent Sanguine. There's a lot to take in right now. It's easy to get distracted. I'll agree. Maybe it's the fact that even trying to get up kind of the back access of this party, you're still running into people. This is a hazard. You need to be careful. If you do something to spook this many students, innocent people are going to get hurt. Like, there is not enough sober, kind of functionally minded people about to respond to an act of violence in anything but a panicky way. Like, just the kind of like, you'd guess that number of chemicals and just kind of general attitude of everything you're wading through right now. This is a situation that requires the utmost care not to make it go from out of control party to tragic after party. To try and find each other eventually, like, what's the play at this point?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm definitely going to try to find Sanguine, considering, like, I understand I'm a cop, but obviously I'm kind of playing second fiddle at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, you eventually kind of meet up in the rough center, you'd guess, of the fifth floor of the dormitory.
Have a good time getting up here?
Yeah, took me a fucking minute. There's, like, I had to climb over so many goddamn people.
this is definitely a fire hazard. This is going to be rough. Do you have the name again as to who we're looking for? I realize that I just completely forgot.
Yeah. Chad Bergstrom, something like that.
Chad Bergstrom. All right. So do you by chance know what this guy looks like? Wait, hold up. There were photos. Was Chad Bergstrom's photo on that apartment that we just recently visited?
No. You do have two names from that apartment, though. You have Tilda Hasting and Melody Farthing, though, from kind of various mail you saw there to kind of guess at some occupants. Chad is the person that called on the phone informing one of those two that the party is on, and on the party most definitely is.
Okay, well, do you know Chad Bergman at all? Have you, like, interacted with his family or interacted with him whatsoever?
No idea, but apparently he's the one throwing the party, so you want to try to blend in and have him get pointed out. Shouldn't be too hard.
For sure. Well, I mean, it's a collegiate co-ed party. People are just honestly, like, what, three steps from a home run down the stairwell. It could be a little... Oh, you don't have the context for this, huh? I realize this now. So, follow me to the bathroom. I'm going to try to find the bathroom so that way we can talk a little easier.
Yeah, it takes a couple minutes, but it's doable. It's a little bit quieter in there, but not much. And there are definitely people in there with you.
Things that we're going to be looking for is these things seem to be attracted to violence and specifically violence of a sexual nature, or honestly just violence together. It just kind of blends in together because hypersexuality is also a symptom. So we're kind of in like a muddy field, if you would say. We're trying to find a hyperviolent needle in a sexy haystack. Do you understand what I'm getting at?
I look over so confused and I go, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm going to assume, based off the other stuff I saw, the violence is pretty bad, but okay, sure.
They're attracted to just real violent shit, because the way that we were kind of escalating into trying to figure out what the hell was going on was like a really, really gnarly search history from beforehand. When I mean gnarly, I mean like some depraved shit, like some, like, things that, and I just point out to like a couple making out like behind me or some shit like that. Things that like these kids will definitely need therapy for, despite the fact that they're already in college. So if there is a situation, like this is already kind of like step one of what attracts these things. Step two would be like violence, or at least be prepared to experience violence if they're around. And we need to make sure that these kids are probably safe at the end of the day. So are you like crisis trained, emergency trained? Do you know how to kind of organize an evacuation?
Yeah, I can definitely do that. What are you thinking?
Not very much. I'm a plastic surgeon. I know how to, I mean, minus the previous situation beforehand, I only really know how to triage patients. Currently, I'm on a down streak, but let's not continue that road, you know?
So upon hearing, like, he's a plastic surgeon, I go, you're a plastic surgeon?
Still a doctor.
Whatever, man. Okay, yeah. Somehow, that's the least craziest thing about all this thing going on right now, but okay, sure, fine. What do you want me to do?
Well, we need to call this party off, as kind of a bummer as that is for these guys. And get them to kind of safety, or at least get them out of the building. Like, you've shut down a party before, right?
Yeah, just, I don't know what you're kind of, you just want me to shut it down and then risk having them run out? Or, I mean, if you're saying these things are attracted to violence, why not start a fight?
In here, right now? No, absolutely not. Because, like, what if, like, a fight happens and all of a sudden there's, like, a panic? Like, we're on the fifth fucking floor and the floor is literally littered with kids. Like, if I try to open the door, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be like hitting somebody on their way to third base.
I'm pretty sure if a cop shows up and starts to say, all right, we're shutting the party down,
with all this stuff going on, you think that's not going to cause a panic?
I don't know what cops do. I don't know if you have special training for that. I just know that, like, I don't know, causing an incident is probably not going to be a good idea. If a party gets shut down, then, like, either they're going to continue partying or people are just going to trickle out. But okay, let's entertain your idea. If we're going to try to start a fight, is it between you and I? Or are you going to start, like, wailing on these inebriated kids?
I don't know. I figured you pick a fight with one of these kids.
I am 46 fucking years old. Why would I be harping on a 20-year-old?
I look over and go, all right. So I am going to grab... I should have my badge on me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to grab my badge, and then I am going to unholster my gun.
Whoa.
But not pull it out of the way, and I'm going to go, all right, I'm going to shoot 2 shots into the air and yell, party's over. That'll cause enough people to start leaving. How's that?
As a cop, you would know how incredibly bad an idea that is.
I know, but I'm thinking I want to try to clear out this place as much as possible, considering the party shouldn't even be happening in the first place.
Oh, that'll clear it out, but you'll get like a stampede. Or worse.
Concept, idea. How about you put that back? Go ahead and just hide that little trinket of yours, because we are in a fucking school campus. We find Chad and try to convince him to shut the party down. If not, we cause a ruckus upstairs. Because if they're attracted to violence, we might be able to bait whatever the hell it is that we're dealing with into a less populated area of the party. And if it's upstairs, it might help just kind of drown out kind of any noise if you're going to be a pop, pop, popping. Does that sound sensible?
You're in charge, man. You tell me.
Let's find Chad first. Let's see if we can find Chad.
I simply agree and just follow Sanguine.
I'm trying to track down Chad.
Yeah. Just kind of like casually walking around, and if I like can make eye contact with something, like, hey, you seen Chad? And just kind of casually,
yeah,
you know, socially engineer my way up to Chad if I can.
Yeah, that's going to take a little while. So we're going to jump back over to Agent Star for a little bit. Agent Star, you are kind of lying on the ground of the locker room, your chainsaw mere feet away from your hand. This thing, the largest, most kind of, you might say, kind of like able-bodied, one of these strange ape-like things, also kind of slid across the ground. It's, again, looking at you is the wrong phrase, but it's definitely kind of aware roughly where you are. It's sniffing the air some, like it's kind of slowly getting up to its feet. What do you do?
Star, because he knows his track and sound, slowly reaches for the chainsaw and then will move to attack it.
All right, so this thing's going to lunge at you from across the room, kind of like making its loud kind of hooting sound, angry, hungry, murderous, even as it kind of flies across the room at you. Try and dodge this, you try and fight it.
Am I able to get my hands on the chainsaw?
Yeah, you have it in your hand again, but like you gotta try and like fight back against this thing. You gotta try and take the hit. Like what's the plan?
I think I'm gonna fight back.
All right. Let's see a fight back. Is that which means melee? Or yeah. I guess in your case it would be melee combat.
Melee combat. The amphetamines, that's not gonna give me a bonus to my melee weapons, is it?
Nah.
48% out of a 57 success.
Good, not good enough. So you kind of like try and get the chainsaw up, but this thing is fast and it just kind of hauls hard into one of its big fists for 6 points of damage.
Does armor apply?
Yes.
And the Kevlar is 3, I assume.
Yes.
Star lets out like a cough and stumbles back.
This thing kind of opens up its circular kind of shark-toothed mouth and like, it doesn't laugh, but it lets out a sound that you definitely identify as a little bit laughter. It's enjoying this. What do you do?
Star is going to take the initiative and try to charge it this time.
All right, give me athletics to see if you can kind of charge at it.
78 out of an 85 success.
You get it on the back foot. Let's see a melee.
6% success.
All right, let's see if it can kind of get out of the way on that one. It nimbly kind of like throws itself to the side, like landing on like maybe some lockers and kind of like lets another kind of angry hoot at you. Give me an alertness.
10% success.
You swear you saw the body on the floor move a little bit, but you have more important things to deal with right now. This thing kind of, again, is looking at you. You got to try and wait for it to attack and counter it. You got to try and...
Star's done this before, so he's going to stand where he is and rev the chainsaw and try to, like, bait it into jumping into the chainsaw.
All right. Let's see that melee. See if you can kind of bait this thing.
50% success.
All right. Let's see if it kind of... Let's see what it does. So it takes the bait hard. Roll me damage.
11 damage. Lethality fails.
So the chainsaw bites in deep on this thing, but like this thing, you'd guess, is maybe more full grown, more formed. It's not recently born. Like the chainsaw kind of has a harder time cutting it. Like it's almost like cutting something thick and leathery on its skin. And this thing kind of like angrily throws its way back after having missed kind of getting its hands on you. And it kind of snarls at you, but kind of like almost like runs one of its hands. It's moving around slowly across the mark you just gave it. Again, it's weird, but this thing is a little bit enjoying this.
Yeah, so thinking that these things are a little smarter than just animals, like seeing that it's enjoying this, I'm going to do the same thing, but I'm assuming that it's going to not go for the song and instead go for what's behind it. So Star is going to get ready to like try to punch it as it dives.
All right, so how do you do this? Like, kind of like toss the chainsaw or something like that, or what?
I think Star is like one handing it with like his offhand and holding the trigger.
All right. So you're not kind of like hold it and rev it or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's see a.
You want an unarmed combat for this one?
Yeah. Let's see an unarmed combat to see how successfully you do this.
59% success.
All right. Let's see if it takes the bait. Despite not being able to see you, it kind of gets that something's up. Like, it kind of like slowly moves around the room at you and gets into a more kind of like beneficial position to itself, but it doesn't lunge immediately at the source of the sound.
All right. Seeing that it's learning, I'm going to stop revving the chainsaw and I'm going to move around slowly too and move into attack, but I'm only going to rev it right before I hit.
All right. So give me a stealth to see if you can kind of like close in on it stealthily.
25% success.
All right. It kind of senses you doing that and then kind of moves around the room to kind of keep you kind of even distance. Like it's aware-ish of what you're trying to do, kind of in a primal sense almost. It's smart enough to understand you're trying to kind of get better position on it. It's trying to keep you from doing that. Give me an alertness.
59% success.
You definitely just saw that person in the room move a little bit, like a spasm or something.
All right. Seeing this thing that's like trying to circle me, we're trying to get a one up on each other, I'm just going to draw my pistol and shoot it with my dominant hand.
All right, let's see a dex.
62% out of 70% success.
You would normally have a close kind of range bonus on this, but because you're kind of one handing it while holding the chainsaw, I'm going to say no to that. Let's see that firearms.
39% success.
All right, let's see that damage.
8 damage.
So this thing howls in pain as that hits it hard. It's not dead yet, but it's got kind of a big hole missing from it where you shot it. Kind of it snarls at you and just charges across the room at you again for an attack, which it misses. Like that shot did a big, like it seems to have disoriented itself. Like it's not moving quite as good. And yeah, so kind of it's back to circling, trying to figure it out. It's very confused. Like the loudest thing that just happened did a lot of damage to it. You didn't touch it. So it's kind of trying to figure out the situation again.
I shoot it again.
All right, let's see it.
43% success.
All right, that hits.
5 more damage.
And that is enough for this thing to finally go down as the two shots just echo loudly around the interior here. Give me an alertness.
55% critical.
You notice it exactly the last second as the man from the floor kind of throws himself trying to grab your legs. You manage to step out of the way.
I've seen these things move before. Do I remember like how quick they are? Like Dexter or well,
this Dex is a man. This is very much a normal human, as best you can tell. It's only trying to attack you.
Right, right. But this isn't the full stage. I remember seeing the orange goop around it, right?
Yeah.
I am gonna go ahead and keep my is this an older man, middle age?
Middle age.
Okay. Star backs up a bit and is going to take, I'm trying to think if Star would do this. What does the guy's like eyes look like? You know, is he like foaming at the mouth?
Give me a search.
88 fumble.
He seems fine. Maybe he's trying to help you out or something. Like, he's kind of like on his hands and knees on the ground now, just panting a little bit.
I'm going to back up a little, keep my gun trained on him and see what he does.
Kind of panting there for a bit, and kind of after a couple minutes, he goes, "Oh, what the fuck was that thing?"
Lay down.
Kind of confusedly lays down in his stomach. "Who the fuck are you?"
Just shut up. Don't move. And I am going to walk over to one of the sinks. I'm going to take out my phone and I'm going to play the same video I did when we were trying to save Snail.
You're the guy from the floor. Are you watching porn right now?
I need you to shut the hell up.
The fuck is wrong with you? You hear him starting to kind of like get up to his hands and knees again.
I'm going to go over and like step on his back.
All right. So he kind of tries to grab you again and kind of like fails at tackling you.
Is he moving like clumsily or what's the...
He's moving like a human.
Can I just restrain him?
Sure. You're going to grab him?
Yeah.
All right. You're putting him like a hold on the ground. What are you doing?
I want to like handcuff him.
You have handcuffs?
That's up to you to decide if I'd have handcuffs in the stuff I would be able to bring.
I don't think you do.
I'm going to hold him down and I'm going to look to see if he's got like an in his neck.
All right. So you're like, but you're inspecting his neck?
Yeah.
All right. Give me a strength check.
26 out of 85 success.
This guy kind of resisted some of this. No injury on the side of his neck, as best you can tell.
All right, buddy. Why'd you charge me back there?
Look at it from my perspective, man. I come to the sound of like echoing, assuming gunshots or something. He kind of like shakes his head towards the remains of this strange ape-like thing. He's like, I don't know what the fuck that is. You then start playing porn. We're in the middle of like a disaster right now. Try and think about this from my perspective.
All right. I'm going to take my boot off your back and I'm going to step back. And you're going to stay laying there for a minute, okay?
Yeah, sure.
All right, I will go turn the video off. I keep my gun trained on him, though, and sure, paying attention to him. What happened when he came in here?
From the ground, he's like, can I sit up at least or something? Like, kind of lying here is not so comfortable.
Yeah, but do it slowly.
Kind of slowly repositions himself to have his back against the wall. I don't know. I came in here to use the bathroom, and then I woke up on the floor to echoing gunshots or something. That was gunshots, right?
Yeah. There's like his head busted up at all?
Nah, maybe like a bruise or something, but beyond that, nothing really. Looks tired mostly.
Is there some kind of... No, I wouldn't know. I don't have any unnatural. Do I remember anything from the journals? I'm going to ask you, Charlie, because Star isn't very smart. Do I remember anything from the journals that explained like the symptoms of deterioration here? And if he's exhibiting any of those from the journals or anything like that?
I mean, you know, the obvious symptoms are kind of like hypersexuality, aggression, violence, but also like, I guess you've encountered two people technically that were infected. Skip Mills was, for all measures, a zombie when you met him. I will say Snail was functionally human up until the very end type of thing. Like, he was capable of rational thought, like, he's the one that caught something being wrong with him, though, too.
All right. I'm going to just ask you some questions, okay? And I just need you to answer them and be honest with me, okay? I'm here to help you, but you have to be honest, right?
That kind of nods. All right.
You see that fucking thing over there?
Wish I hadn't, but yeah.
All right. You having thoughts that you don't normally have?
Kind of looks you confused. I don't know, like...
Like you having some disturbing thoughts about that thing over there, biting.
I mean, confusion, I guess. Like a monkey or something?
Okay, look. You're William?
Yeah, I'm William.
I go by Star. Okay. And you've seen something you shouldn't. And I'm afraid that... Unless I get you help, something bad might happen. So I'm going to need you to come with me.
Give me an alertness.
90% fail.
You hear a little bit too late the sound of multiple footsteps out in the hallway.
Go hide in one of the stalls.
He kind of looks at you. Why?
Look, your wife sent me to get you. I saved you. Just trust me.
So the door flies in to see the National Guardman from earlier. What the hell happened in here? On behalf of all of us at Negative Modifier, thank you for listening, and we do hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to support the show, please consider rating or reviewing us on your platform of choice or supporting the show over on our Patreon. In addition to that, if you would like to chat about episodes or with the cast in general, please consider joining our Discord server. Links to all of this and more can be found below in the show notes.
Welcome to Tabletop. My name is Nick, and I think that fudging dice rolls is totally okay.
Hey, it's me, Franco, and rolling for initiative sucks.
I'm Daniel, and I think you should modify your first level characters as much as you want.
And I'm Shade, and if your TTRPG hasn't evolved into a LARP, you've done it wrong.
And we all host Tabletopped, a TTRPG podcast about all things games and storytelling.
And sometimes we have game designers, professional researchers, and even the occasional owlbear.
If this interests you, listen to Tabletop every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. Tabletop is a proud member of the Helios Network.